Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. Thanks for staying with us in our guest segment. If you're listening to us on KYH, if you're listening to us on Global Star or Red State Talk Radio Networks, then you're catching us right at the beginning. And we want to say welcome to everybody. This is the Common Sense Show. Again, I'm Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And real quickly before we go to our guest, Sam Arnold, and we got an unusual show for you tonight. Just wanted to say I was down at the Phoenix rally, and they had nurses there protesting the protesters. And the governor said, oh, we can't open till it's safe. Yeah, okay, governor, so you're counting the flu and pneumonia into the COVID, the coronavirus stats? Yeah, right. Good job, governor. This country is ready to explode. And we're already seeing cities open up because they're bending to political pressure. And this is going to happen all across the country, folks. So anyway, we're going to get off of the coronavirus scare, and we're going to move into another area. And quite frankly, I can't even stand to watch the news anymore. It's corona, 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 corona. Heck, I went to a restaurant that was illegally open the other day, and I ordered a corona beer. I mean, this is how obsessed we are with this. So I can't wait to get into what we're going to talk about with things that go bump in the night, but they're biblical things that go bump in the night. Things that scare me. And really, I have had some trepidation about this topic. And we're going to get into the Nephilim with Sam Arnold, our guest here, in just a minute. But we got to pay some bills. There are people that keep the lights on here at the Common Sense Show. And first of all, did I tell you the economy was going to crash? Did I tell you yes or no? Okay, how long until your banks close? How long? Not long, right? Cash is trash. It's going to crash. So you need to diversify. You need to have spending capital in your bank account, and that's it. And the people at Noble Gold did this for me. I'm not just an advertiser for them any longer. I am a customer, and I'm so glad I did this. And remember, gold is the only thing that's held its value for 6,000 years in terms of monetary exchange. The Word of God holds its value forever. But gold, it's monetary exchange. It's numero uno, and I want you to give them a call. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges sent you. Also, too, you see the food shortages forming. Like I told you this was coming months ago, and it's here. Meat processing plants closing down in record numbers. Food storage bins are being depleted. It's just a matter of time. Mike Adams and I talked today. We both agree it's going to happen in May. You know, it's certainly going to happen before Memorial Day. Okay, so food and water. We can help you with storable food. Restaurant quality, so you don't habituate to the same food. Like if you just buy nothing but ramen noodles, that's good for the pocketbook, but not good for your diet because you're going to get sick of eating them. So you want to go to preparewithdave.com. No price increase here. 25-year shelf life. And along those lines, who's going to purify your water when people walk off the job to take care of their families? Good question, isn't it? Well, waterborne illness has become the number one cause of death in a crisis lasting longer than 4 days. And we can help you with the Alexa Pure Pro water filter. Easy to use, the best in the business. The research is on the website, waterwithdave.com, and they're offering 40% off. So you got food and water, preparewithdave.com, waterwithdave.com. And now we have Sam Arnold with Dave, but no.com. And we're going to talk about the Nephilim. And this is kind of scary for some of you who say there ain't no such thing as aliens. Well, this may be the closest we get in the Bible. Sam, welcome to the show. I know we have this planned for a two-part series that we're going to run either back-to-back hours on one, actually two networks, and consecutive days on our flagship station. So I'm really glad you could join us.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me. I know that is nicety that all the guests say, but I just want to say that I'm really thankful that you've had me on and given me an opportunity to teach about these things. I have not had that opportunity at some of the conferences. I have very limited dispersion on YouTube. I'm a jungle preacher. I live in the desert. I'm out of the country. That's part of the reason that I have some experience and some revelation that I can share, because I'm not out running the church circuit. I am in the field and at the ends of the earth. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate having this platform. And we're going to get to share some things that build upon and add to the work of those that have gone before us, people like your good friend Steve Quayle, who has really stuck his neck out to speak on this controversial topic for decades. He's written books on it and had conferences, and this is what we're going to build upon: his work, Timothy Alberino's work, your own work. And maybe I can, as a field missionary, fill in some of the holes and tell about some of my personal experiences. These are things that I have felt like I could not share before, because the American church and America is where we've evangelized the world from. So the world church really was not ready for it. But now there's a shakeup. There's a quarantine. There are existential threats. We are staring down both barrels of world war that could erupt at any moment. Just the news every day about our military, like you say, it boggles the mind. So maybe we can get away from that and look at some of the promises that God has given us in his word, look at some of the famous battles, and especially those battles against giants. So that's what I want to get into tonight: the giants, the Nephilim, the mixing of angelic seed with the seed of men, a very controversial doctrine, but one that occurs again and again in the Bible. And hopefully I can help the listeners to see where to look in the Bible and where to look with your own eyes for this to become real to you, because a lot of people have been studying Steve Quayle's work and those others that have gone before, and yet at the same time they're watching around them. And I hope to just lift the veil a little bit, the covering cast over all people, which is described in Isaiah 25, and help you to see that this is all around us. And I'm going to quote Steve Quayle again: that which is coming is no longer coming, it is here.
That's right. That's my favorite saying of Steve. Oh, he has so many though, but that's exactly right. What's coming is no longer coming. It's already here. I've heard Steve say that a number of times, and only to have been proven correct. Well, let's get into it. I'm assuming that we're really looking a hard look at the book of Genesis for this. Am I right?
We can start in Genesis. Of course, Genesis 6 is where we begin, as far as the clearest example of where the giants came from and what they are and all of that. That's in Genesis 6:4, and I've got my Bible here if you want me to just shout that out. Nothing like when we're talking about the things of God.
Yeah, and I want you to feel free to approach us any way you want. I just am familiar with Genesis to some degree because of the work that Steve has done and what he said when he's come on my show, but we'll go anywhere you want.
Okay, and Steve doesn't just teach from Genesis either. He goes into the root words of Rephaim, Zamzumim, yes. Emim, which, when the Battle of Chedorlaomer and when Abraham armed 318 trained servants in his house and went and rescued the king of Sodom, those United Kings not only attacked Sodom, they attacked also these other Nephilic peoples, the Emims, the Zamzumims, and it's all right there in Genesis. I'm not going to really touch further on that, but in this message, we're going to shout out numerous places in the scripture where people can get in and dig and look. And now that battle is upon us, this is really what we should be doing. Is looking at the wars of the Lord and how God delivered. You know, we've got a lot of things on the horizon. And, okay, let me start with this. There's a book out. You can find this on the internet. It's a free PDF. It's called The Universality of Incest by Lloyd D. Mouse. D-E-M-A-U-S-E, Lloyd DeMause. And this book tells about, it lifts the cover as far as child trafficking and just how incest is undercover in almost every society in the world, in Japan, in Europe, in the United States, in Latin America. And it's really difficult. We as Americans want to believe that we have some sense of justice and that human activity, which is illicit and wrong and hurts people, we'd like to believe that it doesn't exist. It's very easy to sweep under the rug. And in this book, Mr. DeMause uncovers how it's all around the world, and all societies sweep it under the rug. And really, the Nephilim is the very same way. When even we teach about the Nephilim, even when we have conferences, there are people with Nephilic bloodlines showing up. You know, I went to the first and second Gen 6 in Branson, Missouri. You and I probably crossed paths there. Did you notice how many red-headed women over 6 feet tall were there?
No, I really didn't. I have to say, I did not see that. I didn't notice it.
Okay, in a crowd of 4,000 people, over a dozen. And sometimes a mother and daughter, you know, you could tell that they were a family. But the odds, if you ran a statistical bell curve, you're the statistician and the mathematician, Dave. If you ran a bell curve of the possibility of that happening in a crowd of 4,000 people, it's like winning the lotto a couple of times. So people with Nephilic blood have been showing up at these conferences, and one thing that they would like to know is where they fit and if there is grace for them. And generally the message has been no. And if I'm disagreeing with anybody out there that's prominent, I apologize. I hope we can have a civil discourse about where we're breaking some new ground here that has been a taboo subject for so many generations, and it hasn't really been real. But now that we're in the age of genetic modification, we know there are human-animal hybrids that are made in laboratories, and they want to know. People who have reportedly seen them in the cages say that these hybrids of humans and animals spoke in English and said, I am a human, I am a person. So, Dave, where does the person fit that believes that they have Nephilic blood to a greater extent or to a lesser extent? And I want to really hammer home the message and prove from the Bible, if anyone is a doubter, that's reasonable. I expect to prove from the Bible that Rahab's scarlet cord, that the scarlet ribbon of Rahab is extended to people that have Nephilic blood, even to a great extent, and that probably Nephilic blood is far more prevalent than we imagine it to be. So we're just going to pop right out of the shadows and lift the veil, if that's all right.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, let's do it, because this gets into an area. Number one, it's not coronavirus, thank you. But number two, it's darned interesting because it's really part of our hidden past.
Yes, it is. Okay, let's go to, I'm just going to read from a deliverance manual, and this is from a ministry in South Africa called ignitedinchrist.org, ignitedinchrist.org, and this is their book about, it's a deliverance manual, and it's called Kundalini-The False Holy Spirit. So you can find this online and you can download it. And this is published 5 years ago. So this is before the conferences. In their next manual, which we'll talk about, they quote heavily. They talk about Timothy Alberino. He's a jungle preacher, and I really appreciate him. Someday we'll have time to really compare notes on some of these things.
Okay.
And they talk about Steve Quayle. They talk about the Gen 6 conference, because all that happened in the window between 2015 and today. But this is from the book, their deliverance manual from 2015. And this is on page 20. Can I be born with Kundalini in me? Now, they're telling people how to get free from soul ties, from demonic oppression, from all kinds of things. And they lead a lot of people in prayer, and they disciple a lot of people and stay with them. through the process. Now, I disagree at points with these authors, but that's okay, you know. We're trying to figure this out one step at a time. So let me just see what they say. The Nephilim, spoken of in Genesis 6:4 as the giants, the mighty men who were of old and the men of renown, it is said that the giants, Nephilim, were on the earth in those days, the days of Noah, and also afterward, meaning after the flood. These Nephilim were the result of the sons of God, and they say demons of very high rank. I believe that these are Luciferian angels, and we'll get a little bit into the angelology and demonology. And just to interject one more time, I feel like our failing as a church in this area has been a deficient angelology and demonology. And so I'm going to come in and give some alternative perspectives, like even of Mark 13:25, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. I feel like we have had a very, very narrow view of the spiritual world, the invisible world. Our forefathers labored in the invisible world. In fact, there's a very great book out called The Wonders of the Invisible World from around 1700 or a little bit before that tells about how the pilgrims had to deal with invisible powers, celestial and terrestrial, spiritual beings, how they struggled, how they labored, and what they got done for good and for bad. So in this message, I'm going to throw out some points of angelology and demonology that are controversial, and I would just invite anyone to come in and study that. You know, I'm doing a 7-part series. 6 parts of it are up. And they're on the internet, and I released them ahead of the last Gen 6 conference for free for anybody who wants to know. And we are going over the 28 occurrences of the word Tannin in the Bible. Now, that's a sea monster. It's a dragon. It's a magical, mystical, spiritual, terrestrial creature. The word doesn't mean anything other than that. And I go over the 28 places in the Hebrew Old Testament where that word occurs, aside from compound occurrences. And really, if I could just lead someone to the water, I would advise them to begin to study that first, because the Bible tells a lot more about their nature, and the Tannin were created by God. Genesis 1:20-21, God created the great whales, the King James says, but underneath of that word whale is the Hebrew Tannin. When Jesus spoke of the prophet Jonas, Jesus said, Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the Kratos, he did not say a fish, he did not say a whale, he used a Greek term for sea monster. It means nothing else. And so I hope that we just pop the lid off of everyone's theology, which has been, it's been hampered, Dave, by the grind, by the 9-to-5, by the kids in school, by the, even the Sunday church services. And I don't mind that people have attempted to serve God in that slumber, but now that the wineskins are broken, I hope that we're done sewing pieces of cloth on the old garment, and I really hope that we're ready to enter in, all of us, into the spiritual world, and to do battle, because these are the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So many people read that, Dave, and they see, they stop after "we war not," and then they stop. And so that's the guy that won't buy a gun, and they definitely won't move into the heavier revelations of the spirit world.
Well, they're the ones that are going to get left behind, too, and not know what to do when the knock comes at their door.
That's right. That's right. You know, another preacher told me, and when you hang out with people that move heavily in the spirit, that have been to the battlefield, that bear in their body the marks of the Lord Jesus, that have scars and war wounds to tell their tales, and they get real serious, you know, you learn to listen to that. And this guy who was called into the healing ministry by the Lord Jesus in an open vision at 3 years of age, and here we are in our 40s. And he turned to me and he said, Sam, you know what dropped the Berlin Wall? You know what caused the downfall of communism? And I said, what? And he said, a tiny little book, not even a book, really a booklet. It's called The Authority of the Believer. And that book was printed in Russian. It was smuggled into Russia. And those underground churches, those believers that had been getting hammered by the KGB, that had been getting demolished and killed and imprisoned, they learned that they could bind the KGB in the name of Jesus. They learned that they could pray against that terrestrial authority and frustrate it. And they learned that they could move into prophecy and not publicize their meetings and not have communications that were subject to intercept. And this is, you know, decades ago, Dave. So now we can step into those same things. We can step into the authority of the believer. And the fact is, we're going to need it, even with our guns. I was out at the park just a few months ago, and a guy was out there, and he had VR goggles on, and he had a drone that was zooming around with a precision and a speed that was unbelievable to me. And eventually the guy took his goggles off, his battery died, and he came over and I talked to him, and he said, yeah, I had a Rice rocket, a really fast motorcycle, and my wife made me sell it. And so this is my only fix anymore, is for him to put on those VR goggles and stand very still and fly this drone. And he can see in the first person in live time as he's buzzing above the trees, faster than any human vehicle, you know, could sustain the G-forces and things. And it really shocked me, because the Spirit of the Lord said to me, those are the things they're going to be hunting you with. That's the technology that's coming for you. And so I'm the founder of the Gospel Gunslingers, Dave. I believe that we should arm ourselves with natural weapons. I believe that we should be prepared with natural weapons. But at the same time, we're very outgunned with the technology that's out there. And this is where we need to move into the power that is mighty through God, the weapons that are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And when I get into how the, for example, the Nephilim have been coming to the aid of people. You know, there's a whole rash of Bigfoot sightings out right now, Dave, where the Bigfoot's coming.
Yeah, I've heard
and
that.
And they find, and they help people. They find people that have a broken leg, and they build a fire and all kinds of things where they're helping people. In fact, I wanted to make several comments pertaining to the very recent, it was maybe a week ago, interview on the Hagman Show. And it was Russ Dizdar and Steve Quayle live with Hagman on the Hagman Show. And they were talking about how even in the jungles, the animals, said Steve, are abandoning their natural behavior, predatory behavior, you know, and they are coming to the aid of people that are being victimized, raped, and trafficked. That is what Steve and Russ and Doug Hagman were talking about. And I would offer to you that you're dealing with terrestrial and celestial spiritual creatures, some of which are Nephilic, and that the door is open, and that they came to the aid of David, and that many of his mighty men fell into this category, that Rahab the harlot was of the bloodline that was to be exterminated. And here, when we get to Matthew, the first chapter, the genealogy of Jesus, there's Rahab the harlot right there in the genealogy as far as the natural birth of the Lord Jesus. Rahab was married by Salmon, one of the mighty men who came in and assaulted the city of Jericho and put it to the sword. And then they spared the family of Rahab, but they became proselytes into Israel. They became proselytes, they kept the feasts, married into the nation of Israel, and even into the holy lineage of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. So that's the first lesson, and maybe the first clue, as far as the prevalence or rarity of Nephilic blood, is that it's everywhere. A little bit of it is everywhere. So we can move in to having the help and having the aid of powerful spiritual creatures. And you know what? They're looking to come in and find grace. And that's why so many people that I observed to be Nephilic were at the original Gen 6. They were looking for that scarlet thread. They were looking for the opportunity to take hold of grace. They were looking to be told that maybe there's a place for them in the kingdom other than to be cast off as a leper and an abominable thing and to be discarded. And my message is that there is grace. There is grace. And maybe in our second message, we'll get into some of that.
Okay.
I lined out for our second hour that I intend to get into how to identify people with Nephilic bloodlines, how to reconcile them if that is what they desire, or if there's not a desire for amity, how to kill people with Nephilic bloodlines. But really, it's all in the Bible. The Bible talks a tremendous amount, just like it talks about Canaan. My teaching on that, I believe, has over 500 Bible verses as I get in and tell about the, and I'm not even through the 28 occurrences. I still have one more lesson to do about the dragons of Revelation and things like that. But the Tannin are something that God created. He made them. In later on in the psalm, the dragons praise him. And very important in Psalm 91 is how to defeat the dragon and the lion and the young lion. And I talk more about that in my teaching series. It's free. Just look up Gospel Gunslingers. It's on BitChute. It's also on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's on my Subscribestar. There's a free link that goes to that place. And I wanted to return here to the...
Well, Sam, before you go on, I want to go back and say a comment on something that you mentioned about animals helping humans. And I just saw something, and they were attributing it to the lockdowns associated with the coronavirus, and humans aren't out. But they're talking about animals of all types across the world, across the entire planet, are now coming into human habitats in great numbers. Is this related to what you're talking about?
It's very interesting that that's happening, and I had not really thought about it in that light. But all of creation is groaning. The 15 volcanoes that erupted in a single night, and you reported on this, a lot of our friends in the alternative media reported on this, in the Dizdar Steve Quayle Hagman interview, they were talking about that not only had these 15 volcanoes erupted within one 24-hour period, so basically simultaneously, they were also talking about that rituals are being done on top of those mountains. And so the wicked, and these are very wealthy people, they are going from cone to cone of volcanoes and from nation to nation, and they're doing occult rituals to bring forth what they believe are invisible demonic powers. They want for hell to enlarge itself and to come out of those places. And here we Christians have the ministry of reconciliation. That's in 2 Corinthians 5. I have the verse written down here. But the Bible tells us that we have this ministry of reconciliation. And so you ask about the animals coming out and the volcanoes rumbling and the earthquakes. The earth is in birth pains, and it wants for, what does it want? The manifestation of the sons of God. And this is something else that I'm going to be teaching on more. I have scratched the surface of it with a few videos and interviews, but there's a doctrine called the doctrine of the manifest sons. And my friend and mentor, Clay Sonmore, who was the youngest and the last to die of all the founders of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, started and stewarded revivals around the world. He wrote the book on the doctrine of the manifest sons, and that this is the coming of the spirit of Elijah upon a corporate body that is called chosen and faithful, that this is the man child. So there's the church, but then there is the man child. There is an overcomer that sits with God on his throne, and that reigns over the nations and smashes them to shivers as pottery with a rod of iron. So I'm going to be teaching more on that also, on the doctrine of the manifest sons. A lot of people don't like this because it is abrasive to the old wineskin.
Sure.
And now that all that's broken open, now that everyone's reconsidering that, it's our opportunity to consider what is the ministry of reconciliation. It's our opportunity to consider what it is to be called and chosen and faithful, and how high does God want to take us into the prophetic realms in victory. And so the whole idea of the Gospel Gunslingers is a message of hope, that we have an opportunity to stand for our lives, just like in the book of Esther, that God is going to give us a chance to have another golden age, or at the very least for the bride to be resplendent and to be standing in her own at the Lord's coming. And for me, I think that's a very, very positive message.
Well, how is that positive for Christians in general?
You get to win. You get to win. So many Christians have been looking towards death, beheading, or an escape rapture. And I'm not against the idea of the ingathering of the saints, or of the reaping of the world, or of the Lord coming in the clouds, or the catching away. But the whole escape rapture idea, that you don't have to stand up, you don't have to be a sovereign citizen. In fact, you shouldn't, because everything's just going to go hunky-dory until the end. Well, we're not to the end yet, and everything's very not hunky-dory. Everything is very badly shaken up, and the powers of heaven are shaken. The earth is literally shaking. There are wars and rumors of wars, and so now is a really good time to be considering that maybe we should ascend a little bit. Maybe we should press in. Maybe we should be faithful in addition to being called and chosen, and that we have a chance to possibly have a victory. David killed that giant, went out there and killed him, and it started a whole new era in Israel and in the world.
That it did. That it definitely did.
Let's wrap up with page 20 of the Ignited Kundalini Manual. These Nephilim were giants, and a good example of one was the giant Philistine Goliath, whom David fought and conquered. Okay, they just put that right out there. Remember, this was 2015, 5 years ago, and a lot's happened in 5 years. But this was very brave of them to come out with that. There are also various other references in the Bible to the Nephilim, but it is enough that we mention their existence here and the fact that they have caused the spiritual DNA of the human race to be contaminated by the seed of Satan. And then they talk about the deliverance aspect of that. But this ministry that's operated in deliverance and helped a lot of people to get free, they say that the contamination is really endemic. You know, there's a difference between a pandemic and epidemic and something that's endemic. If it's epidemic, it's breaking out. If it's pandemic, it's already spread to the borders of the petri dish or a nation or the world. And if it's pandemic, it's just everywhere. That's what pan means, like the pandemonium. So they're basically saying that Nephilic blood contamination of humans is endemic. It is everywhere. And in my own dealings with people with Nephilic bloodlines, let me tell you, Dave, when they first started to come to me, because I was teaching a little bit of martial arts at the time, let me step back. This ministry is very against the martial arts. And I understand that because there's a lot of demonic activity. But here's the other thing. The Bible is full of war stories, stories of warriors. Even in the New Testament, Jesus commands us to bear the sword. And so it's something that we have to do. And, you know, when the lion lies down with the lamb, and when a little child puts his hand in the cockatrice's hole, in the serpent's hole, and when the little child is leading the bears, like Isaiah says, then we'll talk about beating my sword into a plowshare. But that hasn't happened yet. And maybe the millennium will be a very beautiful time where we're able to do that. But hey, Pancho Villa did that. He retired. Him and his Dorados, his Golden Ones, his Mighty Men, they went and retired to a ranch, laid down their arms, and tilled the ground, and 2 years later he was assassinated brutally and bloodily. And so the message is not to lay down our arms and not to give up our swords until the earth is restored. When the earth is restored, I don't have to wear shoes anymore because of scorpions and because of spines and cactuses and goat head stickers on the ground. Then we'll talk about not being a warrior. But at the same time, this ministry, if they are telling the truth the best that they know it. And they have pointed to some people in the martial arts that operate in very strong demonic activity that are really warlocks.
I've seen it too. I've seen it too.
You as a martial artist, I'm sure you know all about that.
I do.
They reference George Dillman, and they don't call him by name, but there's a link that goes to a video of his. And George Dillman is a very dangerous warlock, and I have had contact with people that have studied under him personally and Dillman instructors, and they operate in potent demonic power. It's just the same.
I'm trying to think of a way to ask this. Does he profess this publicly?
Well, they talk about death touch, and he talks a lot about chi. He, like so many occultists, they want to sanitize it. You know, even Anton LaVey said Satan's not a person. Carla LaVey still speaks on TV, oh, we don't believe in Satan as a person. Of course they do. They do rituals to Satan. They summon demons. They know that they're real. But publicly they say this is a force. This is the idea of rebellion. It's the idea of gratification of the flesh. And so that's what LaVey teaches. It's what the Church of Satan and Michael Aquino teaches. And it's the attitude that George Dillman takes. Oh, these are forces. We can cultivate power. It comes out of the earth. Those are the types of things that he says. And really, this is a place that I wanted to start.
Before you go on, let me ask you a question. You think Dillman would come on my show and defend these accusations? What would be your guess?
I don't think that he will. I think that the one fear that he has is people who demons are afraid of, and people that have authority over the demonic, people that move in not only intercession but the Holy Spirit and prophetic power and authority, people that have grown in grace. I think that that's the one thing that he's afraid of, and that he would carefully avoid. But at the same time, I don't advise people to go pick fights with known warlocks. Let me tell you, the average the average Christian or a martial artist, even, they are terrified of getting in a fist fight on the street, you know, for all the marbles, where they could die, against one dangerous opponent who may have a devil. And when people come wanting to learn martial arts, they're thinking about punching and kicking and the round timer, timing out their rounds as they hit the bag and try to keep their hands up and stuff like that. But when you're attacked by someone whose intent to either rob, steal, kill, and destroy, to rob, rape, or kill you, there's gonna be demonic presence involved. And this is where our own veil, we can just let go of it. If that's somebody's intent to find you on the street and mark you out and steal, kill, rape, or murder you, it's their father, the devil, that has come to do that, to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so you're gonna be dealing with a demonic power. And so very basic to self-defense. And this is where, Dave, all of the guys that, and I honor our veterans, but they're majoring in the minors. They need to move into the place in prayer where God is real. The 91st Psalm is not something that you tattoo on yourself. It is something that you dig into and observe how to move the way that it describes. And then you can tread upon the lion and the adder. This is where we tread, as Jesus said, upon snakes and scorpions and upon all the power of the devil. But if that's not real, it's not real. So let's not major in the minors. If you're attacked by someone with those evil intentions, they're gonna have a devil, and you better know how to bind and loose. I mean, no matter how many comfortable years you had under Blue Cross and Blue Shield and going to the little denominational church or a huge mega church where nobody knows anybody, those wineskins are broken right now, and it's time to move into authority and power. And I'd like to just make one more point upon those wineskins and how many of those preachers are really stepping out in a tremendous bravery right now. They know that by telling people to be patient in this time, that they're destroying their ship that they've captained for so long. They're running that ship onto the rocks by telling people every Sunday that those people don't come in is a Sunday that their payroll's due, that their mortgage note is due. And there's a group of preachers, if you want to know where to find them, the guy who's inviting them all to get on and have prayer meetings is Michael Cloud, the congressman from Victoria, Texas, from Texas District 27. And he can be found at cloudforcongress.com. You can sign up for his email. Not only is this a great Republican, conservative, Christian congressman, he also is an alumnus of Oral Roberts University, where I mm-hmm. attended school. In fact, we're in the same yearbook. I don't know that we crossed paths a whole lot. He was an athlete, but he came out of ORU. He's a great American, and now he's having prayer meetings where people, different preachers come on, and they just speak for a few minutes, and they pray that God will have his way in our nation, that God would bless the military, that God would lead us through this very, very difficult transition. And it's a lot of fun being on there. Ted Cruz was on there, and his father, Raphael, was on there yesterday. Every Monday has been the prayer meetings, and there might only be one more. So if you want in, then go to cloudforcongress.com and get on his mailing list right away. But let's support this movement of ministers that are sincere about pushing into our relationship with God. And as Oral Roberts said, expecting a miracle. Oral Roberts said, a miracle settles the issue. And that's where Michael Cloud and I learned and went to school, at the feet of Oral Roberts, literally.
Well, I'm well aware of Oral Roberts University. This is terrible to say, but I remember Oral Roberts University because it's where one of my friends not from my high school, but a guy that I played a lot of basketball with growing up in Denver went. And he raved about the Christian atmosphere. I want to go back to these satanic martial artists for a second. I'd like to interview one of them, because I think people need to see that side of it so they can contrast what the Bible says with what you're saying satanic influences display. Think that's possible?
There are plenty of them out there. My base art that I have my black belt in is American Ninjutsu, technically RBWI. So I studied and earned my black belt from Robert Bussey, who was really the original American Ninja. And he departed out of ninjutsu, out of Japanese Togakuri-ryu ninjutsu, where he studied under Masaki Hatsumi, the 34th Grand Master of Togakuri-ryu ninjutsu, over their occult practices, because he had been practicing with them for a number of years and entered into their occult practices, but he had sisters at home that were praying for him, being the youngest of 11 children. They prayed for Robert Bussey. He had a power encounter. Thank God that his sisters knew that they were up against not only the hardness of the heart, but demonic power, and that they were able to come in and pray for him. They interceded for him a long, long time, and his salvation was very, very powerful. So Togakuri Ryu Ninjutsu, at the height of the ninja craze in the 80s with the Ninja Turtles and Shokasugi and the ninja movies, mm-hmm. Michael Dudikoff, American Ninja, and all of that was going on. And so Stephen K. Hayes became the person, the white American who was to bring ninjutsu to America. And he has written numerous books about the warrior wizards. He's written numerous books about them, and they call themselves that. They talk in great depth about the wizardry, about the mind control, about the meditation, about the Tengu, the earth spirits, from which the ninja drew their lineage and their name. They come from Japanese legends about nephilic creatures and about celestial and terrestrial invisible powers. Now, of course, all of that is outside of the gospel, even though some of those ninjas were freedom fighters and just wanted to live by themselves, that they wanted to withdraw and have their own villages and to be left alone. Even though that's the case, it still was all outside of Christ, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we know a few more things. But yeah, Dave, if you want to interview a martial artist that operates in the occult, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly, or the bad, the worse, and the ugly.
Well, I've been removed from it for a very long time. And you said your discipline was jujitsu?
Ninjutsu.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you. All right. Well, still, yes. My thoughts, well, if we were pugilists here, I'd have to keep you at a distance. I didn't like to grapple too much. I was pretty
Me neither.
Good. I was pretty good with my hands and feet, but I didn't like to wrestle.
The older I get, I just don't want to be on the ground. I want the other guy on the ground.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
So bringing us back to our original point of the Nephilim, one time a hiker was talking to me, and the conversation went to Bigfoot, and his eyes got big, and I didn't start it. It just kind of happened. And I could tell that this hiker was really terrified that he might run into Bigfoot in the woods. Okay, no jokes. This is just a real person, and his eyes got bigger and bigger, and I could tell that he was really scared, and this was not a believer. And you know how it is when you're talking to somebody and you know you're only going to get a hit the nail one time and you're going to walk away. So this is what I said. I said, remember, you can rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Wouldn't my phone go off at just that moment?
That's okay.
Here's what I told the hiker. Remember, you can rebuke Bigfoot in the name of Jesus, just like a demon. And so this high, now his eyeballs were even bigger. And, you know, we shook hands, and I let him off the hook, and we went our way. And who knows where he went from that point. But this is the first thing that every believer needs to be armed with. They need to be armed with the authority of the believer in the name of Jesus. They need to know that one of our greatest weapons, and the Lord Jesus, he is the mighty King and the Creator God. We're not removing him down to a formula. But if I could leave someone with only one clue for the day of war and battle, whatever they're up against, it would be to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what I left this hiker with. And you know, people that have told me their accounts personally, they ran into Bigfoot, and they rebuked him in the name of Jesus, and that was the end of that. So maybe we can move into some greater...
I think that's... Listen, people who are baby Christians are going to have a hard time with what you just said. and I know I'm reflecting back on my junior year in college. I met this beautiful woman, and I mean stunning, beautiful, nice, friendly. And we were in a study group together, and I thought she liked me. And then she said, yeah, sometimes I encounter these demonic entities, and I have to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I thought, whoa, you're a little out there for me. I'm a Christian, but you know what? If I had someone say that to me today, and I knew that they had the Word of God behind them, I would not be laughing that off. Sam, we've got about a minute 15 seconds left in this particular segment. And rather than jump into something new, I'd like to hold it. And what I want to do with each one of these segments that we're going to do together is I want you to take a minute and just talk about how people can follow you. And you got about 45 seconds now.
Last thing I want to read from the Ignited Manual, the seed of Satan, the Nephilim, is a very strong bloodline curse, and it has the effect that Christians carrying the seed of Nephilim in their spiritual DNA are much more susceptible for Kundalini infestation. And so I just want to put it out. Search for me on Gospel Gunslingers on any engine. It will go to my Subscribestar. Look up this manual on ignitedinchrist.org, and it will be the beginning of how to step forward in the Lord Jesus Christ, how to begin to move in miracle power. I had to be discipled by black Africans and barefooted Mexicans, Dave. So that's how I got out of my normalcy bias, and maybe sure. We as a nation will all come out together.
Yeah, I've been right there with you, my brother. I know exactly what you're talking about. And my naivete lasted for decades, really did. And Steve Quayle really helped awaken me to a lot of these things. He was right on the money teaching. Well, look, we're out of time, and I want to say this to the audience. If you're listening to us on KYH, this will be continued in our next Business Day broadcast, okay? If you are listening to us on Red State Talk Radio or Global Star Radio Network, you are going to be hearing this in the next hour, so stay tuned. And Sam, awesome stuff. I'm going to call you as soon as we're off the air, okay?